Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's here today. I can sense that already. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it occurred to me as I was praying, you know, about the praying for the office praying for the politicians, praying for the president. You know, of course, if you were here when we had a completely different president in office, you'll remember that I prayed for that president as well. So we don't pray just because there's a specific president in office, but we pray for the president's office. But also the other offices, it's very important for us to do that. As Christians, we should spend some time at least releasing faith for things to happen that way. And the Bible tells us that if we don't pray, you know, we do pray for those positions so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Amen. You know, we have so many wonderful luxuries, really, so many wonderful blessings that we get to experience in this country because this country is the way that it is. And it was ordained by God. It was set up by God, amen, to be that way for the furtherance of the gospel. But we have to remember to continue to be thankful for those things. You know, just because we receive what we've wanted or what we desire doesn't mean that we stop at that point. You know, then that's the time to really rejoice. Praise the Lord and to continually be thankful for it. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. There's just a sweet presence of God in here today. Just thank you, Lord. Today's message is called The World Needs Your Faith. Amen. The world needs your faith. And, you know, this was birthed out of some ideas that the Lord has been dealing with me on. You know, the content of this message are some things we really need to get in us. And, you know, this is really a message, kind of, I don't know if I want to say evangelistic message or not, but it's definitely a message that should stir us to desire and reach more people. Amen. You know, we should be people that walk around with a constant desire for people. Amen. We should walk around with a constant desire to reach people, to help people, to help them find the things that we so readily find. Amen. You know, the purpose of the gospel, of course, we see a lot of things about how God gets us out of trouble and how God increases us and how God, you know, he blesses us. And all these things are wonderful, and we should believe that. But, you know, we don't want to spend all our time just focused in that area because that's not what it's all about. What we do is we teach those things so it frees people up to know in their hearts that since God does take care of them, and see, once you believe that and you realize that, since God does take care of you, that you can go out and do the things that he really wants you to do. See, the idea that God, you know, I've told many other ministers as I've talked to them, I said, it seems like I spend more time preaching just about, just trying to convince Christians about God's goodness than I do anything else. And really, that's kind of a shame. But we preach what's needed, amen? We preach, you know, I seek the Lord on what's needed. And if that's what people need to know, that's what they need to know. But at some point, we have to progress above and beyond that we understand that, you know, there are trials in life. There are opposition. You know, there's great revelation that came to me last night, actually, as I was ministering in Corey. But the revelation was that, you know, just because bad things happen doesn't mean God isn't good or God stopped working. But it's kind of like if you were going to a destination. If you can imagine that, you're in a car and you were going to a destination, and that destination has many different kinds of roads in the way. You know, as we've traveled around, one thing we've noticed is that you go different areas and you see different kinds of roads. I haven't been in the Midwest too much, but I've heard once you get into the Midwest, it's just straight and forever. The roads will be, you know, they'll be flat, straight, and forever. They said, one person told me once that they saw headlights coming down the road, you know, and they said a half hour later they passed that car, you know, and so that just tells you, you know, but we know that it's not around here. Sometimes it's the last second you see the headlights, you know, or the deer or whatever, praise the Lord. And so we have all different kinds of traveling, and we know some traveling makes it easier and some traveling makes it harder. You know, as we found out on Monday, my wife ended up in a ditch, praise the Lord, everything's fine, but Friday, I'm sorry, yeah, Friday when we got the snow, and she wasn't even going fast, and praise the Lord, there was no damage or anything like that, but we did have to have Denny come pull us out, so thank you, Denny, again for coming, and praise the Lord, but you know, she wasn't going fast or anything like that, wasn't doing anything wrong, but it was just the travel was hard and ended up in a ditch, and you know, a lot of people would take a moment like that, and they would be like, oh, you know, why are things always happening to me, and they get all depressed about it and all down about it, you know, and but that's just the wrong attitude. Sometimes things happen. Amen. The thing that we have, though, is that we understand that God always is looking out for us and always take care of us. So even if there had been damage to the vehicle, that we would still be able to go on in the blessing of God because he would take care of it. And so we need to have faith in God in that way. But the same thing is, as we're going through life, we're traveling down this road, and sometimes there's bumps, isn't there? Sometimes there's potholes. Man, there's this one road I love coming out of Fredonia. I think it's called Chautauqua Road. But when you get at the upper end of Chautauqua Road, man, what beautiful. You get the most amazing view of Lake Erie, and it's just so gorgeous. But it also, there's something else that also happens towards the end of Chautauqua Road, and that's they get rid of the pavement, and they just go to dirt, amen? And it's dirt and rocks and stone, and you go through, and you get dirtier than you would on regular roads, and you get a little more roughed up, then you can't drive as fast. You can't get to the destination as fast. But the key is, as long as you're still going to the destination, and that's what we need to trust God on, is that no matter what happens along this path, that we'll still go to the destination. But see, we have to know that sometimes along the path, there's reasons. God will allow us to go down, or he'll take us down a bumpy road, knowing that we'll be bumped around. But you know what God's saying? God's saying, you can handle it. You can get there. I know that you can. And that's why I sent you down the bumpy road. Now, as you're going down the bumpy road, he didn't put the bumps there, but he said, this is where we have to go because this certain destination that I want you to get to. And see, a lot of people can't see the whole, what was that saying? See the forest for the trees, you know what I mean? They're just focused on the moment, they're focused on the trial, and they don't realize that God was going to use that to do a great and wonderful thing in their life. That sometimes God was going to use that to do a great and wonderful thing in someone else's life. How many times? Oh, praise the Lord. I was going to wait to share this testimony. Well, just a scripture, and I'll share it now. You know, when we, my wife and I, when we were first together, we got married, and we got a little bit of money for marriage. When we got married, you know, people blessed us, praise the Lord, and we decided to go out and try to buy a house with it, you know. We did, but the house that we could afford wasn't very nice. In fact, we couldn't live in it for the first 2 months that we owned it because we had to do all this work to it just to get into it. You know, because that's just the way it was. So we had all this work to do to get in there, and I started doing it, and it was a project, you know, and I didn't necessarily love the house, and it was a thorn in my side, so to speak, the entire time we were there. My wife would walk in, she says, I just love this house, and she's like, I was like, yeah, but see, you and I walk in the house differently. When you walk in the house, you see the house that you love. When I walk in the house, I see that the front door needs fixed. I see that the basement needs fixed. I see that the walls need insulation, that we need new windows. I see all these things, and I know I'm the one that's got to do it. And so I'm the one who's always thinking about how to do it. She thinks, oh, nice cozy home, you know, we painted it nice colors and stuff, but I know that if you don't keep up on all that, and she knows it too, but she wasn't focused on it. Men and women, it's okay. Praise the Lord. You know, we think about things differently, and that's why God has hooked it up like this. Amen. But at any rate, I think about that. I for years, I would complain about the house and get mad about the house. And really what I was doing, it was the plan of God that we were in the house, and we knew that it was. And so here's the thing that we learned, you know, that I learned, is it took me all those years of being in that house, and then after we got out of this house, to realize what the biggest part of that plan was we would have never met John, Liz, and Hayden if we had never gotten into that house. I said, we would have never met them. We would have never known who they were, praise the Lord. Because it was through that door, and it was through that door that God used to bring them into this church and serve faithfully and change their lives. And so why I bring that up is because you never know. That was a 10-year experience to win one family. And see, if I had looked at it right, praise the Lord, I could have seen that the whole time. But see, what I saw was the trial because I wasn't focused right. And so we have to understand that there's reasons sometimes that we'll go through things in life. Not that God doesn't bring trial to your doorstep in the sense that he puts bad things in your path. God doesn't make you sick. He's not teaching. And all those things that we teach, I haven't changed from that teaching, praise the Lord. But we have to understand that sometimes as we go through the process, praise the Lord, that there are people that are in that process. There are things that God, sometimes the things are for us, but sometimes the things are for someone else. And we have to be okay with that if we are the people of faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's start in Matthew 5:13. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, we learned this in a very great measure just recently when we had Dr. Bill Matthews in, and he came to Corey, and he had prophesied some things. We hadn't told him anything about Corey, but he had prophesied some things about the church that we didn't know. And those things that we learned changed our complete outlook on the whole work and what we're doing down there. And we realize things that we never realized that we couldn't see. And sometimes God will do that. Sometimes he won't tell you everything. Why? Because he wants you to live by faith. He wants you to trust him. So we have to know that if something bad happens or if something pops up, if all of a sudden something out of the blue happens, we have to trust God that he knows enough to get us out of it, to get us through it. Because one thing that God has promised us is he promised us that he would never allow us to go through any trial that we couldn't see the end of. Amen? That he wouldn't allow anything to come before us. And so this we know according to the word is that anything that comes up in front of us is something we are well able to overcome. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we have to be people of faith and trust these things. Amen? So Matthew 5:13, have you found it? Praise the Lord. Now, we might know something a little bit different. Today, we are putting the reference on the screen. And that's because I have a habit of talking too fast sometimes. Praise the Lord. And I can get on to one thing, or I get into Revelation and go into something else and kind of leave you all behind. And I don't want to do that, praise the Lord. I want to make sure that everybody, so what we're going to start doing is we're not putting the whole scripture up, but we're going to put the reference up so you can refer back to it. Or if I forget to tell you, or if I just get on talking, you know where it's at. Praise the Lord. And so that'll help you, I believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, we learn this thing as we go, don't we? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. We don't know everything. I don't know everything. I certainly don't. I know more than I did 5 years ago. But that doesn't mean I know anything at all. Praise the Lord. I'm just learning too. Hallelujah. So it says here, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Amen. You see, so often this is really what, actually this is, I would say that in a large respect, that this is a state of the Christian church today. That we're the people of God, we're the chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood. Praise the Lord, we have so many wonderful things God has done and God has planned for this time period. And yet the salt has lost its flavor. Because the church doesn't do what the church used to do. The church doesn't care like the church used to care. We have to be people to understand. We need to be those, but we have to stir it up. How do we keep the flavor? Praise God. By not letting the flavor go. Amen. By not letting it go. We're not gonna drown it out. You know how Christians lose their flavor? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this reference. They lose their flavor by mingling in little bits of things, by diluting it down. You know what I mean? Like my wife likes to clean with vinegar. She likes to clean with vinegar because when she cleans with vinegar, it kills stuff, praise the Lord, including my nostrils. So I know she's cleaning with vinegar because all of a sudden my mouth starts watering and my nose feels like somebody's digging in the back of it. You know what I mean? That's the feeling, isn't it? It's like scratching at the back and you just get, your face starts, I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying that when you're cleaning with full strength vinegar, you know, it's the same thing with bleach. What are you supposed to do with bleach so often? You're supposed to dilute it. Why? Because straight up bleach will burn holes in things. Amen. And vinegar is kind of the same way. I came out of the bathroom this morning. My wife was, or out of our bedroom, you know, getting ready for church and getting ready to head out the door. And if she's got 5 minutes, she's going to clean something by God. And so I come out and I knew exactly what was going on because I can smell it all through the house. I figured either somebody made a mess or she's cleaning up one, praise the Lord. But what do we know about vinegar? You take a straight cup of that vinegar and I dare you to try to drink it. You're not going to get very much down, are you? But one thing that we have learned is my wife also makes this drink. It's a cleansing drink. Every once in a while, and we'll drink it, you know, to help flush toxins out of our bodies and stuff. And one of the ingredients is vinegar. Is it the same vinegar?
No.
It's not the same vinegar, but it's vinegar nonetheless. And but she doesn't just, it's not just a cup of vinegar, although that would probably be pretty good for you if you could handle it. But it's diluted, and so you can handle it, amen? But we know that the strength is taken out of it, the flavor is taken out of it when you dilute it. And so this is what's happened to a lot of Christians, is they get diluted by the things of the world. They get diluted, actually the Bible says, by the cares of the world, by the desires for other things, amen? Is that what happens if we, oh, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Where are those? Is that Mark 4? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Is that Mark 4? I know, but is it in Mark 4? Praise the Lord. Let me look for a second. Yes. Yep. Let's just go there because we're going to follow this Holy Ghost rabbit trail. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark 4, verse 1. Glory to God. And it says here, and again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the landing facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold. Some 60 and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I say to you this morning, he who has ears to hear, she who has ears to hear, let them hear. Let's hear what these scriptures are telling us as it's pertaining to this. Why do I say that? Because the Lord brought this out, wasn't planned in the message, but God has brought this out to teach us something about losing our salt. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I want you to skip on down to verse 13, it says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. So the one who sows is the one who sows the word. Amen. And that's what we of course, we've taught on this before, and we understand that the word is the seed that we sow. That's the first and foremost one, right? And these are the ones that by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown from their hearts. So what is this? This is a person. Now, these are all people that hear the word. So this is a person who sat in a church or sat in front of a minister and heard the word being preached. And immediately, Satan comes and takes that word. He immediately comes and snatches it away. In other words, it's not going to have any root in them. It's not going to produce anything. Amen? And then it goes, the second type of heart, and these are all the hearts of our hearts, amen. The second type of heart, and these are the ones that are sown, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. What is that? You're sitting in church, you say amen. Yeah. You're sitting in church and you say, hallelujah, that's true. I like that. Yeah, that's right, amen. Praise the Lord. They receive it with gladness. They may even leave the service like, you know what? That word stirred me today. That's exciting. I'm just so glad what the word, what was preached today, because it helped me. Amen? And then verse 17, it goes on. This is Mark 4:17. It goes on to say, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, look at, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And that's exactly what I was talking about. All of a sudden, persecution happens to a Christian, and immediately they stumble. Folks, that's what Jesus called stony ground. Now listen, we all have moments where we're going to stumble through life. I'm not saying that there's moments where we're not going to hit the mark. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect all the time. But what I'm saying is the course of our life has to be it has to have more depth than just stony ground. And if it doesn't, then that's really what we are. There are people who remain baby Christians their entire life because they never allow the word to take root in them. Amen? And we are the ones who determine what kind of ground we are. We're the ones that determine what kind of heart we are. How do we do that? Well, when Satan comes with an offense, I don't like what was just preached. That makes me mad. To recognize that it's not you, that it's not God, that if the word was preached, then obviously if somebody doesn't like it, it's the devil. And the devil's trying to steal the word away. What's the Bible say? Don't let him have it. Just say no. Devil, I don't take that thought because that's not my thought. Amen? And if you really don't take that thought, then you won't take it. But if you keep struggling with that same thought, it means you're taking it. But you have to determine. Listen, determination is a funny thing. Determination in the heart of a person is really this. I am determined to do this. Ain't nothing going to move me from it. Sometimes it's nothing more than just what you have said. I'm not moving from it. I'm not budging. You can't move me. Why? Because I'm determined. How did you determine? I just determined. I just decided that's the way that it is. Amen? I decided I'm going to choose right because that's what I'm going to do. You know what I determined early on? I remember when I was about, I was about 16 years old. It was one of my first jobs, and I remember somebody was trying to present the word. They were presenting it in a wrong way. It was a cult that was trying to present it to me, but they were trying to present it to me in a wrong way, and I simply said this. I remember saying this, but it stuck with me ever since then. I said, I don't know everything that's in the Bible. I don't know most of what's in the Bible, because at the time I knew very little other than like John 3:16, maybe Psalm 23, you know, like we all do. But I didn't know much of what was in the Bible. But I said, one thing I do know is that I believe everything that's in it. What was I doing? I was determining in my heart. Now, I had never thought that thought before. I had never said that, but that was a heart that had determined that this is the way it was going to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can determine things sometimes to your benefit, but also sometimes to your to your hurt. Yes, yeah, your detriment. Thank you. You can determine things to your detriment. I'll never do this or that. I talk to people all the time about that. Never be a Christian that says I'll never, unless it has something to do with the word. Now maybe you say I prefer not to do this or that. Amen. But I've learned not to do that. I won't even say I won't move here. I won't move there. I will go wherever God sends me. I'll go whenever He sends me. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I get, one day I woke up, praise God, hallelujah. One day I woke up, I had a dream. I sensed it was of God. And so I woke up in the morning and I decided, you know what? It was about being in this town a certain length of time away. It was a ways away. I decided to go and I did. I went the next morning, praise the Lord. Glory to God. What did I find when I got there? Nothing. Amen. But I was willing to go. I determined in my heart that if I believe that God's moving on me, then I'm going to follow it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. And so we see here that some seed, it doesn't take root. These are people that hear the word. There are many people that sit in churches that are stony and wayward, wayside ground. Amen. And we don't want to be those people. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So we have to determine that there is more that God wants to do, and it's more important for us to follow God and to trust in His word than is even our own emotions. If we're moved by our emotions, you know, I've been preaching on this a little bit, but we can't be moved by our emotions because emotions will not move you. They will never move you. They will never move you in the right direction. They will always, always, always lead you in the wrong direction. Why can I say that? Because emotions can be easily manipulated. We all know this, don't we? Can't you be, you can be up 1 minute and down the next minute, nothing happened. You know, just like that. My wife drove into a ditch. She could have been completely an emotional wreck. And maybe at a time in her life she would have been. But now she was only a little bit of an emotional wreck. I just checked to make sure you're all here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, she wasn't an emotion. She wasn't bothered by it at all. A little uncomfortable because she was sitting like, you know, like this at an angle. In fact, when I got to her, I had to open her door, not because she couldn't open it because it was stuck, but because it was too heavy. She was pushing it up the way that it was. Praise the Lord. But you know, she could have been an emotional wreck, but no, we just here I showed up, and she got in my vehicle, and we waited for Denny. All was good, praise the Lord. And, you know, he sucked us out of the ditch, praise the Lord, with his winch thing, and she was on to work. And didn't skip a beat, amen? But see, people allow things like that to wreck their day or ruin their day, and it's like, why would you allow something that you can't control to even give you to steal from you anymore? Because it's the thievery is not in the fact that you were in the ditch, or that you got, maybe it was worse than that. Maybe you got in a car accident. Maybe you totaled the whole front end of your vehicle. The thievery isn't in that. The thievery is in how that lasts throughout the rest of your day, and how that lasts throughout the rest of your week, and how that lasts throughout the rest of your month or year. Praise the Lord. You know, if you've ever been married, you know that you can have moments of intense fellowship. Praise the Lord. We never have them, but you know you can. Amen. So moments of intense fellowship, praise the Lord. And you have moments where maybe you don't necessarily agree, and maybe you say something stupid. But you know, the worst thing that can happen in a marriage is when somebody always brings up what always happens. Right? If you're like, oh, you always say this, or you always do this. Now, we're all guilty of it at some point. But what I'm saying is if we, what do we know? When you dwell on past hurt, what happens is you'll never get beyond it. Why? Because that determines, you know, last night I was preaching about hope. That determines where you, what your hope is set on. That's what's going to happen, that's where it is, and that's as far as you can go. You know, that's exactly the truth in so many Christian relationships, is that people get stuck because they can't forgive. Not because they can't forgive, because they won't forgive. They won't just determine to get over it. Listen, I am not going to allow anything from my past to affect the blessing of my future. Amen. How many people live in the past? Listen, if you make future decisions based on anything that happened in the past, and I'm not talking about, you know, gaining knowledge, you know, obviously, you know, you don't want to touch a stove just because you touched one before and got burnt and you thought, well, I want to do what Pastor Jeff says, and I don't want to focus on the past, so I'm just going to go ahead and touch the stove again. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about being stupid. Right, I'm talking about, like, if you allow maybe you had a bad relationship and it affects your future relationships, you are just keeping the blessing of God out of your life because you have determined something, you've determined not to be blessed is what you've done. Why would you do that? Why would you forego? You see, this is what people do. They do things like that, and then they pray to God and they say, oh, dear Lord, bless my future. Give me something. Give me hope. But you know what they're doing the whole time? They're keeping him from doing it. He's saying, I can't do it. I can't do it because you keep keeping me from doing it, because you stay focused on things that don't matter. Praise the Lord. Paul said to forget those things which are behind and press forward to those things which are ahead. What does that mean? To forget those things which are behind and press forward to those things that are ahead. There is nothing in my past that can help me with my future. There is no mistake that I've made in the past that will bless my future. Praise the Lord. Now, you obviously, I'm not talking about learning from your past. Obviously, we can learn from our past. Again, like touching the stove, you know, if you know something doesn't work, obviously you won't go back and do it. But, you know, people use that as an excuse. Don't use that as an excuse to say, well, I won't go do it because that didn't work. And when it didn't work before, it was because it was half-hearted anyways. You know what I mean? Like, so we have to strive ahead to the future, determining that we're not going to be stopped from what we're doing. I don't know where all this is coming from. Praise the Lord, but it's God. I know it. Praise the Lord. So we don't want to be Christians that are caught. We want to be full of salt. Those are Christians, listen, Christians that are wayside Christians, Christians that are stony ground Christians, are Christians that lose their salt. Amen? And the Bible says they're good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. Why? Because, listen, we are born again into a higher purpose, a greater calling. We have been given such a wonderful gift. And that gift is not to be squandered in your living room. That gift is to go out and bless the world. This is what God is. The world needs you to grow up. And when I say that, I mean to grow up into a mature Christian. It needs you to grow past those anxieties. Listen, when I realized what was riding on me getting right in my life, man, I started to make adjustments. today when I realize, I'm off and I find out, man, I have missed it bad in this area. You know what I mean? I have really done bad in this area. And I don't even feel like I can go forward. I don't even feel like I can get out of this. This time I am stuck. But you know the thing that I remember is there's stuff that rides on it that's greater than me. And because I know that there's things riding on my faith that are greater than me, it calls me up higher. And because I'm willing to go, I will always rise to that. But folks, you can too. There's no difference between you and I in this, glory to God, except for maybe where we're called. But how we're called isn't different. We're both called by God. We're both called to do the things of God. And we are just the ones that determine whether or not we will do it. Will we walk in what God has for us? Amen? But see, people who are distracted are people who are, Christians who are distracted are Christians who are deluded. They're distracted by this and they're distracted by that. You know, there's Christians that can't even come into church without thinking about what's just going to happen afterwards. I'm guilty of this at times myself. There's times afterwards I'm thinking about, well, what am I going to eat after I get out of church? Man, I'm really hungry. What am I going to get? Where am I going to go for? Yeah, but that's not hooking up to what God's doing. We need to be sensitive and hooked up to what God's doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:15. Now, you guys do know that, the illustrations are not included in my time. So when we're preaching, you know, the illustrations, they're like the rabbit trail, so to speak. You know, if I said, hey, we're going to go down to Gatlinburg. We do that a couple times a year. We'll go down to Gatlinburg. We're going to go down to Gatlinburg. If you get on your GPS or you get on your Google Maps or whatever, it's going to tell you, it'll take you about 10 and a half hours from here to get to Gatlinburg. I have not yet made it in 10 and a half hours. Why? Because of rabbit trails. But I can't rightfully tell people. Sometimes we make it in 2 days. Sometimes we make it in 12 hours. The time always varies. But this is what I can tell you. That if somebody says, hey, how long does it take to get to Gatlinburg? I have to tell them 10 and a half hours. So likewise, when we're in service and I say, okay, the message is going to be about an hour long, praise the Lord. If there's rabbit trails, I can't guarantee it's going to be an hour long. It might take us 2 days, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of ministers that we're going to need to send this message to because they're going to like that illustration. Praise the Lord, that's a good one if there ever was one, I don't know. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For all things are for your sakes. Huh? Is that what I said? 2 Corinthians 4:15? Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't mean to. Are you sure I said that, or did you just hear me wrong? No. I'm sure that's what I said. I was just checking if they knew. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread... I don't get near as much trouble until someone goes, oh, there you go. And then it's like, then I'm really in trouble. Come on, help your pastor out here. Praise God. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes. Paul's talking about all the things that they've gone through are for your sakes. Praise the Lord. That the grace, the ability, having spread. See, the grace is the ability that's working in their life. As a minister, if you back up, around verse 7, he's talking about like, being getting into trouble and all these things are coming, being persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, all these things, and here he's saying that these things happen in our lives as ministers. He's saying these things happen in our lives for your sakes because the grace spreads through the many, it causes thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So what that's saying is, though, even though we've gone through this trial, we've reached more people. And because we've reached more people, there's more people that are on board with what God's doing. More people that have learned who God is. And when that's the case, It's bringing glory to the Father. And that's a wonderful thing. That should be the heart of all of us. Amen. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. If indeed you are allowing your inward man to be renewed. But what happens is Christians, they get deluded. They allow themselves to be deluded. They walk away from the word. They skip more church than they should. They stop listening to, they stop reading, they stop praying. They allow themselves to be deluded. And then what happens is Satan comes in and starts doing things in their lives. And God can't come in and do anything in their lives. See, the attack is always this, it always has the same purpose, and that's to remove us from what God really wants us to do. Praise the Lord. But you notice here he says in verse 16 that we do not lose heart. What's he saying? He's saying, well, we have determined we won't lose heart in this. That there's the trial, the thing that comes against me, I'm not going to let it take my heart. I'm not going to let it take what I think of God. I'm not going to allow the trial to have me look at God and think, listen, there are moments in life where you may just have something so heavy on you that you will cry out to God and you'll say, why, Lord? And that's understandable. People of faith have always gone through those moments. But that shouldn't be the case for most of the time. Our lives should not be, I'm not saying that you should ever question God like he's doing bad. But I'm just saying that sometimes when things get so bad, you'll get to that point. But listen, folks, if we're in the habit of constantly going to God, like, why, God, why, God, why, God? Those are people that don't understand. They haven't been renewed. They haven't been renewed on the inside. And that's what we need. We need that renewing. What's the renewing? It's the truth of the word. It's to set our hope on something higher. It's to look at something more than just ourselves. Amen? It's to look beyond what, if we're always focused on our problem, we can never see beyond the problem. So we need to set our affections on things beyond. The Bible says to put your affection on things that are above, not beneath. Amen? That we need to, why does it tell us to do that? Why does God tell us to just look up here? What do you do with a child when you're teaching them to do something, like ride a bike? If you were standing in front of them, look here. Don't look down at the ground. Don't look at the pedals. Don't look all around. Look here. Focus here. That's what God tells us all the time. Focus on me, because when you focus on me, you'll keep riding. Praise the Lord. It's just like when I always think, I always give the example when I was teaching Mark to swim and to trust me to jump in. I was in a pool and he was on the edge of a pool and I was like, come on, Bubba, come on. You just look at me. Just come right here. And he'd be like, no, he's seeing the pool and he's seeing the water and he's seeing. And I'm like, no, focus on Dad. And then I finally told him, I said, I've never dropped you. And that's what our Father is saying to us. He's saying, I've never dropped you. I've never forsaken you. I've never left you behind. And it's such a wonderful example. God is, he's calling out to his people all the time. He's saying, just trust me. I know it's against what your flesh wants to do. I know that you have opposition. I know that you have people telling you you're foolish. I know that you have situations all around you that tell you that it doesn't look good. He's saying, just trust me. Because I've never left you. I've always been right here. I've always been calling to you. I've always been reaching for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. See, this is the problem. When people get caught in trial, and it lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts in their heart and their minds, it's because they don't realize that it's a light affliction. They think it's the end. They think that it's all over. They might not express that, but in their mind, there's that. Have you ever had that when something happens? It feels, oh, this is it. Yeah. This is, we're all done now. Yeah. We can't possibly do it this time. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Praise, I can't tell you how many times where I've been there, and that thought has come. Do you know this year, I have probably had that more times this year than ever. Just because you have that thought doesn't mean that you're thinking it. There is an outward force that's pushing against you saying, it's all over. It's all done for your kind. You can't do it. But what do? We renew our minds. Why haven't I quit yet? Because I renew my mind to the truth, which says, oh, we'll overcome. Because we always do. We are overcomers. No, that's what we are. As much as I'm, more than I'm a Michener, I'm an overcomer. Yeah, I've got Michener characteristics. There are things that are just inherently Michener in me, but I'm going to tell you right now, you might not know what that is, but those who are laughing in the front row, they know, praise the Lord. There are things that are inherently Michener in me, but more than I am a Michener, more than I am, a little bit Italian, more than I am a little bit Greek is what I meant, more than I am a little bit whatever, more than I am anything else, praise the Lord, I am an overcomer. More than I am flesh and blood, I am a victor. More than I am anything else, I am a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, praise the Lord, it doesn't matter what color I am. It doesn't matter how tall I am. It doesn't matter how short I am. It doesn't matter what gender I am. It doesn't matter how much facial hair I have, although facial hair makes you cool. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter, praise the Lord, glory to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what other thing. It doesn't matter how heavy I am, how skinny I am. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters is I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord. And if I can learn to live life out of that fact and that fact alone, oh, praise the Lord. I will say the same thing. The light affliction. Yeah. Listen, what's the worst thing? Think about the worst thing that's ever happened to you in life. Light affliction. Light affliction. Why? Because when you compare it to the Father, when you compare it to the grace that God has bestowed upon us, it's all light. It's all small. It's all little. And if you realize that, you know, the Bible says the greatest attacks you have in life, we know aren't from God, right? We believe that? Yeah. The greatest attacks that we could have in life, the greatest attack that Jesus had in life was Satan coming up to him, right? Now, is there anyone here who thinks they have been attacked more or harder than Jesus was attacked? But doesn't the Bible tell us that we're going to look on the devil and say, is this the one? This is the one that made the nations tremble? It's a light affliction. See, if it's big to us, we haven't allowed ourselves to be increased to the place where God has determined that we need to be. And so it keeps us down. Because that's what we see. Amen? I was once given this story. I don't know if it's true. It seems to be true, but it's a good illustration if not, so I'll share it with you. Praise the Lord. But they say, this person was talking about how they trained elephants back in the day. You know, an elephant, this big, very strong creature, and they put these big shackles around their back foot, yeah, and they pound big stake in the ground, and that elephant would pull, and it would pull, and it pull, but because that chain was so heavy, it was stronger than the elephant was, and it couldn't break free, amen? And so they keep that on there for a time. I forget how much the time was, but it was for a set amount of time. But it would get to the point where all they would do is they would tie a little string around the elephant's ankle, and put it on a stake or whatever. Now, something so obvious that elephant could just walk away right away from. But you know, because the elephant felt that there, or in a way saw that there, I mean, but they felt, they knew that was there. In their mind, they were still chained and shackled. And so because their perception of it was, the elephant wouldn't move. Now, this elephant has more than enough ability to go wherever they want now. But they wouldn't do it because they believe that they're still shackled. And that's how so many people are, is because they won't allow the Bible to raise them up out of that place. And so they stay shackled to the bondage that Jesus said is gone. He said it's gone. It's not there. It doesn't exist. We don't have deliverance ministry. We have the Word of God. Why don't we have, you know, there's churches that have deliverance ministries. Listen, you don't need deliverance ministry. You need the Word of God. There is no such thing as deliverance ministry other than the Word of God. You look through Scripture. You don't need to be delivered from something. Praise the Lord. Because if you received Jesus, you are delivered. The Bible says you are. As much as you are healed, as much as you are prosperous, as much as you are anything else that the Bible says you are, you're delivered. We have been delivered, the Bible says. Right? We have been delivered. Glory to God. Will you look that Scripture up for me? Have been delivered. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we know, we're not getting very far very fast, but we're getting where we need to go today. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where was I? Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. It's working for us. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, the awesome thing that God does is he has tipped the scales in our favor, that whatever works against us actually works for us. If we look at it right. You found it? 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 9. Yep. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. We should not trust in ourselves but God. See, it's you get to a great place when you say, I can't. When you get to the place where you can't, you're in a great place. Because now you get to see miraculous working power of God. Yeah, that's what you get. I can't do this. Wonderful. God can take over. Let him do it. Just let him do it. Praise the Lord. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust, and he will still deliver us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why? Because that's who he is. He is deliverer. And if he's working on the inside of you, you have been delivered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where was I? I was in verse 17, 18. While we do not look to the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, 2. Praise the Lord. Was there in my Bible? There it is. Hebrews 12, 2 through 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now look at this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Who for the joy that was set before him. See, Christ allowed the joy to be set before him and said, that's the goal. This is the opposition, but that's the goal. If that's the destination, I've got to go there. The joy that was set before him was you and I. The joy that sat before him was our victory. And so Jesus said, it's enough for me to pay that price. But see, people aren't looking at it that way. People are looking, you know, if Jesus had just looked at that trial, it would have been all done for us. We would have never had opportunity. But he determined, praise the Lord, by what he did. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. I want to get here. Proverbs 18, 19 in the Amplified. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city. And their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. What does that mean? That the brother that's offended isn't going to do much for God. The sister that's offended will not do much for God. Again, I read that in the Amplified. I know most of you don't have the Amplified. That's probably why I just went there. But you can understand. Even you can see this. Even it's not a lot different in the regular version of Proverbs 18:19. But a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Look at that. Their contentions separate them. It's not the issue that's a problem. It's their issue that's the problem. Notice that. It's not the issue that's the problem. It's their issue that's the problem. It's their issue with it. And it separates them like the bars of, from what? From the blessing of the Lord. From everything that God wants to do in their life. From everything that God wants to use them for. Your offense will keep you from that. The things that you're offended about, the things that you're bothered about, the things that you can't get over. This is not just in a church. This is in a home. You want a husband and wife? You want to have a good relationship with each other? You can't do it being offended. What's being offended? It's being, now listen, I'm not talking about you should just stay with somebody or stay around somebody who abuses you or something like that. No, obviously not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying be a doormat. But I'm saying if you want a good relationship, you have to determine that you're going to do whatever you have to do it if you want it with that person. And what you have to do with that person is not be offended by anything. Not be moved. My wife could be offended at me most of the time, probably. She chooses not to be. I could be offended at her most of the time, probably. I choose not to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just thought of something. It was an inside joke, so I'm not going to share it. So, because you wouldn't understand it anyways, but it was funny. It made me laugh. She knows what I'm talking about. But praise God. But you can choose to allow the offense to take you out, or you can choose to not have the offense linger. What's if I don't like the way that was said. I don't like the way that was done. Who cares? Who cares? You know this. You know what's happening in this nation? This is why we need to pray for our nation. This nation is setting itself up to reject the church. How is it doing so? Not because they're taking the Ten Commandments out. Not because they're trying to limit the speech of Christians. You know how they're doing it? You know how the devil's doing it? By indoctrinating people with wrong ideals. Yeah. If the devil can get you thinking wrong, you will reject everything that's written here. And what's the number one thing? Offense. Have you noticed in the last 4 years that the biggest problem is people are offended? Oh, you did this to me, and you did this to me, and you said this about me, and you said this. Oh, you used this out of turn. What did you mean by that? It's all offense. See, what you do is you get people so used to saying, well, I can be offended by everything and be justified in doing so, that when they get presented with the word, they'll say, well, I don't like how you said that. Offense. Reject God. You see how the devil does it? He gets it first in society. He gets things flowing in society. And then as the church accepts these things, you got churches all the time that are accepting these things. I'm not talking about politics. I don't care what politics. Everybody's offended with everybody. It's stupid. It is so stupid. I don't care what you called so-and-so. It doesn't matter to me. I just care what you do. And if you do something bad, then I don't want you in office. Continually. You know what I'm saying? In any office. It doesn't matter. If you do good things, then I want you there. I'm not expecting that everybody in office be a Christian. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. But I certainly am going to expect that there ain't going to be people there that hate us so bad that they'll do everything they can to destroy our religion. And if you don't think that that's happening, there's whole parties that are doing that. Yeah, praise the Lord. They're trying to destroy it. And they're not doing it because people are just hating on people. Most of these people don't even realize they're pawns for the devil. I'm talking about most people out there in the world. In this nation, people who are protesting this and protesting this. Like, I get the idea of protest, but Christians shouldn't be protesting things. You don't need to protest. Praise the Lord. We just need to be people of the truth. Preach the truth. Teach the truth. Live the truth. And guess what? The truth will prevail. Why? Because love prevails. The Bible tells us that. Love always wins. It always does. It never fails. And what's love do? Love rejoices in the truth. So if you are a person that holds on to the truth and you rejoice in the truth and you won't accept any of the garbage out there, you don't got to protest. You just got to live right. You just got to pray. You just got to be what God told you to be instead of trying to be like all the people that are out there losing. Because that's what's happening. The Christians are trying to be like the world. And the world is losing. Praise the Lord. And it's not losing because they're losers. They're losing because they're not following the program that was laid out for us. Amen. To win. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I love this. Pastor Scott and I were together recently, and we were talking about a lot of things. But he was telling me something that he said recently in a church that he was ministering in. And man, I had to, you'll have to tell him that I quoted him today. Praise the Lord. He'll get a kick out of that. But this is what he said. You don't know what your offense is robbing from someone else. See, because this is the problem. Satan doesn't care about individuals. He cares about the whole group. He doesn't care about just ruining, like he will, if he gets an opportunity, he'll ruin the life, but he's not going to just focus on you. He focuses on you so you'll reach nobody else. He'll focus, he'll get you offended, so you will get to the place where you're like the bars of a strong castle. Your contentions can't get you out, and you're not being effective for the kingdom. Satan doesn't care about Christians that aren't doing anything for God. He applauds them. He may even help them. He may even bless them, so to speak. Oh, you got a job that takes you away from your church? Sure. Come on in. Yeah, here. You're going to get more money to do it. Here's a lot more money to stay out of the church that God has for you. Praise the Lord. That's not what God has determined. God's blessing will never remove you from his house where he has you planted. Never. It will never take you away from it. Why? Because it's the one thing that you have that'll keep you going. God knows that. The devil's the one who comes against that. Praise the Lord. But see, people don't do it. I want to get in this relationship, but I can't go to the church anymore. Praise the Lord. People do these things all the time. I'm not saying even in this church. I'm just saying I've seen it happen over and over and over again. If it removes you from where God's planted you, it's an offense, and it'll tear you apart. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But you don't know what your offense is robbing from someone else. The problem is, and I've learned this as a minister, that many times I can preach this to people. I can preach the idea of other people to people, and people just simply don't care. It's like, I don't care. I'm going through this myself. I don't care about other people. Yes. And listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you are a person who just doesn't care about other people, you'll never go anywhere with God. Don't bother asking him. He won't answer. He won't answer. Don't bother. Now, if you're a person who will change, then yes. Yeah, that's different. Hallelujah. But if you're a person that doesn't care about other people, you might as well just hang it up right now. And you might as well help us. I'm asking you. Help us, because you just hinder the church. We got to be people that care. And you know, one of the things that I've learned, when I've been going through the greatest trials in my life, God will send me somebody who needs me to talk faith to them. You know why he does that? Because then all of a sudden I'm speaking faith, I'm speaking it to them. Yeah, because sometimes as a preacher, you don't feel like getting up in the pulpit. You don't think we go through things? We all go through things. Sometimes I don't want to go to church and I don't want to go show up to the pulpit. But you know, God will send me somebody. I maybe get a message or something in the middle of the day, somebody going through something, and I'm going through it myself. And what do? I know what I got to do. To not ruin their life, I got to preach the word at them. So I start preaching the word. I don't just say, you know what, brother, you're right, it all sucks. You're right. I don't know why we're doing this. No, I've never done that yet. Praise the Lord, I haven't done that yet. It's all terrible. It's all over with. No, we never preach that. What we do, preach the word. Then I find afterwards, man, I feel pretty good. Yeah, I don't feel good, pretty good, because I felt pretty good because I'd just been preaching the word. Amen? And so when you do that, see, when we do that, we bring ourselves up out of that place. Glory to God. That's how we set our minds on things. That's why God will send you people that need, you know. And sometimes he'll send you people. No, he won't send you those. Sometimes people just come. They just want to dump on you. And that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. And you got to shut that down too. Praise the Lord. I have to as a pastor, but you have to as people. Do not let people dump their garbage on you. You are not somebody else's pooping station. You're not. You're not a toilet for the world. Don't be. I said you're not a toilet for the world. Don't be. If somebody wants to keep, you know, filling you like a toilet, see ya. Got to go somewhere else because you ain't having it here. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is not a public restroom. Amen. You know, when you see those signs, no public restroom available. Maybe we should have those t-shirts, man. FCMV, no public restroom available. They won't get it, but we'll understand. Amen? Glory to God. That doesn't mean you don't help people that are going through things. But you know, there's a difference. You know there's a difference real quick when you're talking to somebody, if they want help or if they don't. If they want help, they'll stop and they'll listen. If they don't want help, they'll keep telling you why they're in what they're in and how they can't ever get out of it. I've had people do that. I don't think anybody who's sitting in this church anymore, anyways, but they have sat there and they will tell you, and I have after, and I've put up with it too long. Sometimes I've gone a couple hours listening to somebody do that. And finally, okay, wait, now I won't do that as long. I try to get the bearing of somebody real quick. Okay, let's get to the issue. I don't need to know all the details. Let's get to the issue, and then we'll deal with the issue. Amen? Praise the Lord, because the details, they don't matter. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I am done. Hallelujah. Because that's where I need to be. But so we maybe we'll get back into this again. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll pick it up Tuesday and run with it. I don't know. But God's good. We have what we needed anyways today. But we know that this is for more. But for more than just us. We have to understand that if there's an attack, it's just trying to rob us. But God isn't going to allow it. So let's just set our focus on things higher, and believe God for more, because he's got more for us. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be real quick and real honest with you. He's been showing me stuff about both Corey and Mayville. But there's some pretty exciting things ahead. But we have to get there by faith. And it's not going to happen overnight. Some of these things may take several years. But some of the things that are going to be happening, praise God, hallelujah, they're big. It's much bigger than all of us. But listen, if you won't be offended, if you'll just hook up and you'll say, I'm just going to be included, I'll be part of it, I will do my part as much as that I can, praise the Lord, we'll run with this and we're going to see such awesome blessing and such awesome lives. And you'll see some of the things that even I get to see, like as far as the other people, like there is nothing better than when you know that you've helped facilitate a change in somebody's life for the better. And